What is your name? A question that we often hear. And it's more than just a way to identify an individual. When we hear someone's name, we automatically think of qualities about that person, good or bad, or stories, or how that person has affected our lives. When I hear the name Dee, D-E-E, short for Dolores, I think of my Aunt Dee from Midwest City, Oklahoma. I remember walking to her home, which had ornate wallpaper all over with sparkles on it, dolls everywhere, and trinkets lining curio cabinets. They covered every square inch of the place, and it was a little creepy. I remember her somewhat overstated makeup and how when we came into the house, she would open her arms wide and say to us, "Come and give Aunt Dee some sugar." And then she would plant the layers of lipstick on her lips onto your cheek, and you would immediately have to run to the restroom to wipe it off. When I hear Dee, it embodies feelings and memories and experiences, and that's just a great aunt. It hits even closer to home when it's your own child. In baptism class, I have a book I love to use. It has almost every name that man has ever known and what saint it's associated with it. We look up the meaning of the child's name when the parents come to the baptism class. And it's great because I get to hear stories about how that baby got that name, how the couple met, and how they came to conceive that child. It's neat to hear parents tell the story of how they brought new life into the world. You see, names tell a story, even about generations. And this is no less true than in our gospel today. Father Ben asked me the other night, he said, "Have you ever read the genealogy in the gospel on Christmas Eve?" And I kind of looked at him with an odd look and said, "Are you kidding?" To a bunch of little kids. It's filled with a bunch of names, but they're beautiful names. Eleazar, which means God's help. Eluid, which means God is grandeur. Zadok, which means righteous. I'll give you $100 to name your next kid Zadok. Eliakim, meaning the resurrection of God. David, beloved. Jehoshaphat, Yahweh has judged. Uzziah, you could call him Uzi for short, means the strength of the Lord. Josiah or Josie, the fire of the Lord. And Ruth, companion, friend, vision of beauty. Do you remember the story of Abraham? He didn't start with that name, did he? He started with the name Abram, which means hollow root. Now, if you think about a root to a tree or to a plant, if it's hollow, that means it's dead. There's nothing growing. And that's how Abram was before God came to visit him and answered his prayer. It says in the first reading, "You shall be called by a new name pronounced by the mouth of the Lord." And what name did God give him? Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. The genealogy is more than just a list of who's who in the Bible or where Jesus came from. When Christians hear this genealogy, they should be overcome with remembering how God has worked mightily in the lives of each of these biblical figures and how God has worked mightily in our lives as well. Out of the young people in our audience, if you are 18 or younger, who can tell me what the name of Jesus means? Who can tell me what the name of Jesus means? I've got $20 here, if you can tell me. Who can tell me what the name of Jesus means? Anyone? Anyone? Oh, the servers. Shouldn't they be disqualified or something? We'll try. Who had their hand up first? They're both pointing to themselves. Who had their hand up first? Zach or Jack did? Okay. What does it mean? God saves. Good job. Now, yeah, give them a round of applause. I got $50 if you can tell me where we get that name, what two Hebrew words we get that name from. Really? Okay, go for it. You know what? Close enough. I'm going to give it to you, Zach. Give him a round of applause. The name Jesus comes from a marriage of two names. It's in Hebrew, it's Yeshua or Joshua, and it comes from two names married together, Yahweh and Yashah. And the Yashah means saves, rescues, or delivers. And of course, Yahweh is the name of God. God saves, God rescues, God delivers. But the name of Jesus, just more than a study in etymology, it's more than just history, it's more even than just theology. Like Aunt Dee, or like your child's name and how you decided to call them that, the name of Jesus should tell a story. Perhaps a story of generations of Catholic faith. I see so many of them here, grandparents and grandchildren. Some of you four generations deep sitting here in church today. It should elicit feelings, memories, and experiences such as come at Christmas. But does the name of Jesus do that for you? Does the name of Jesus elicit thoughts, feelings, and experiences of being rescued, saved, or delivered by God? A couple years ago, we had a family gathering, and my brother Joe and I got into a debate about names. You see, recently, Pope Benedict at the time had said that more Christians need to name their kids after saints. Now, my brother took issue with this. He said, I don't agree with the Pope. And of course, being the priest in the family, I automatically have to agree with the Pope and defend him. You see, Pope Benedict had a good point. That if we raise our kids with names of saints and they identify with that saint and the qualities of that saint, then their very name, their very identity is wrapped up in Christianity. That's a good point. But my brother also made a good point. He said, well, how did those Christians get those names? Well, it's probably some non-Christian at the time who gave their non-Christian child a name that was popular or meant something else. And then that person underwent conversion. And that person became a saint, and we now call them Saint so-and-so. In other words, they made the name holy. It wasn't the name that made the person holy, which is also a good point. What does your name mean? If you don't know, look it up. But more importantly, is not what it means as a part of etymology or the study of words. It's what your name means to other people. When they hear the name John or Betty or Jack or Susie, what do they think of in their heads? Do they think of somebody who believes and worships Jesus Christ? Do they think of somebody who has filled their life with a difference affected by the gospel? Perhaps your name has become a bad word around the office. Or children, perhaps you've grown so tired of hearing your name because it's always said when mom and dad think you're in trouble. Remember the words of the first reading. I will give you a new name pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. And you, while you may not actually get your legal name changed, you can change the meaning of that name, especially in the hearts of the people around you. Whether you have a name which has little to do with the Catholic faith, or you have the name of Jesus himself or one of the great saints, your vocation is all the same. Everyone sitting in this room tonight is called to be a great saint, so that when people hear your name, they will feel, remember, and experience Jesus Christ.